Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Man, Jonathan Taylor burst onto the scene in his rookie season with the Indianapolis Colts, played for Nick Sirianni as an offensive coordinator, and the pride of Salem, New Jersey and Salem High School joins us right now. Jonathan Taylor, thank you for a few minutes. John Marks and Ike Reese, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing? I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, thanks for joining us, JT. 1,500 yards of total offense, almost 12 touchdowns, man, in your rookie season. Pretty doggone good for anybody in any year, but for you coming out in your first year, talk to us a little bit about the NFL this year. It was a little bit different. We all know about the pandemic. But how did the rookie season go for you?
I think the rookie season went well. I mean, especially towards the end of the season is kind of when things started coming together a ton. But, you know, as the pandemic, I mean, this, not only myself, the rest of the rookies, this is all we know at this point. So all we hear about is stories of, you know, what a real NFL season is like and how much fun it is. And it's hard to imagine because this year was so much fun with despite everything going on. So I'm just anxious and eager. I can't wait until next year and experience that full NFL season experience.
Man, you were good. What was the biggest adjustment from college to the pros, Jonathan?
I think the biggest adjustment would be kind of not doing everything on your own, but understanding that you had that freedom, not necessarily you knew I had to be here at this time every day in order for this workout and to have the meal here. It was kind of, you had things offered to you that were available, but you had the freedom to kind of go on your own path, whatever works for you. So kind of having that balance of what am I going to take advantage of as far as the opportunities and resources I have at the facility, and then what am I going to outsource on my own.
Mm. Now, what was it like for you, you know, Wisconsin, man? You guys put out so many running backs, and my goodness, it seemed like every year, and it seemed like one's from South Jersey every year coming out of Wisconsin. But you were like the workhorse in Wisconsin. We know how many carries you got. You finished high in the Heisman Trophy race. But when you get to the NFL, you're going to have shared carries. So you weren't necessarily the featured back all year this past year. You had to split time back there. What was that like for you? And eventually you pretty much won the lion's share of the carries. So what was that adjustment like for you?
Really, it was just understanding, you know, how you mentioned kind of the workhorse in college. So eventually, you know, okay, I'm going to get a feel for these backers, this D-line, you know, who's kind of flowing heavy, who's kind of playing more stout, staying in their gaps. And as you mentioned, this season it was kind of a bit more of a shared carry. So then it was kind of, okay, I need to quickly decipher, quickly understand and get a feel, okay, these backers are playing really fast, they're flowing hard, or these backers are kind of put, they're playing hard in their gaps. So you had to kind of gauge the defense quicker than you would in college because you knew in college, okay, you got the entire game to kind of fill these guys out and get into the flow.
All right, Jonathan. Eagles fans are wondering what we have here with our new coach, Nick Sirianni. I saw that you had a tweet out there that called him legit. So tell Eagles fans why you think Nick Sirianni is going to make a good head coach for Eagles fans.
Really, just because the way that he, I want to say separates, you know, how he talks to the players and, you know, how he addresses the media. It's not really a separation. He understands that the players want to succeed. They want to do well. And I mentioned this in another interview. It was someone had something that happened at camp, and the media asked him about it, trying to kind of nitpick or try to make, you know, a story out of it. And he said, listen, I know he wants to make that play 10 times more as bad as I want him to make the play. So we're just going to correct it, and we're going to move on from that. So understanding that he's not a guy who's going to try and downplay or try and beat down on a player because he knows, you know, we want to make those plays just as much as he does. But then he also has a fiery side that knows, hey, like, listen, you made this play 100 times. We can't let this happen. And if it's a scenario like that. So he just really knows how to decipher different situations. And I feel like as a head coach, you're always put in a lot of different situations, whether it's players or coaches. And I feel like he knows how to handle each and every single situation properly.
If you had to describe, like, the philosophy of the Colts offense, what would you say your guy – like, what was your philosophy as an offense this year?
As an offense this year?
Yeah.
We're going to run the ball. That's the number one philosophy right there.
Okay.
You know, we take pride in that, establishing the line of scrimmage up front. When you're able to establish the running game, then you're able to open up a wider a range of, you know, the plays in the playbook. If you can't run the football, then that's just another thing the defense can eliminate. And it's also, you know, a bit easier for the defense to understand, hey, these guys can't run the ball on us, so we don't even have to worry about that. But, you know, if you have a dominant line up front, which we had, and we have guys in the backfield who can make it happen, you know, such as myself, Naheem, Jordan, and unfortunately before Marlon Mack went down, Marlon, it's a really hard team to beat.
Jonathan Taylor. Jonathan, happy belated birthday. I see 3 days ago you just turned 22 years old, Ike. Unbelievable.
Oh, so young.
Thank you very much.
So young and so successful so early in his career. Yeah. So, John, the thing that Eagles fans are wondering about is Sirianni. Like, you talked a little bit about his personality, but as far as his coaching style, is he a guy that is a hard coacher? Is he a guy that doesn't have a problem coaching guys hard? How would you describe his coaching style?
I would say that he's a really positive coach. And like I said, you know, if he knows for 100% of a fact, like, listen, I've seen you you've made this play in front of me literally 100 times, and you might not make that play one time. He's like, you know, we can't have those things happen at our routine. But if he knows it's an area that you're growing in, he sees that you're working really hard, he's like, okay, listen, I know you want to make that play, and we're going to work, and we're going to continue to work. We're going to continue to coach you, and we're going to make it happen. So I feel like he has that fiery side that he knows, like, listen, you can't have that. You cannot have that happen. You can't have that happen. But he also knows when it's time for growth and it's time to grow, we're going to work through it, we're going to coach through it, and we're going to get through it together.
Very cool. John, you grew up an Eagles fan? I mean, you're right in the Delaware Valley here.
I did. I did grow up an Eagles fan, especially once Corey Clement went to the Eagles. As you know, he's from Glassboro, which is like kind of right down the road from Salem, New Jersey. So that was big. That was big time watching him go to the Eagles.
Now, see, that's how – I mean, Corey Clement, man, he's a baby.
See, John, you got to realize. So, Ike Reese had a nice career, especially here in Philadelphia.
We've talked.
You were also born the same year he was drafted, right? So you
I told him that. Yes. I told him that. Yes, that he wasn't even born when I first got here, man. So yes, it's okay. It's okay. But listen, hey, Jonathan, we appreciate it, man. And like we talked earlier, anytime you want to come on, you got something you need to promote charity-wise, anything you got going on, camps or anything of that nature, give me a call. Feel free. We'd love to have you on, man. We wish you all the best, and thanks for joining us.
Congratulations on your first year, man.
Yep.
Yes, sir. Thank you, too, very much. I truly, truly appreciate you guys having me on.
All right, yep. John, appreciate it. There he is, Jonathan Taylor.
It's a good dude, man.
Good dude. Very impressive.
So the first time I talked to him, and you guys won't even believe this, you probably remember, back during the draft time.
Yeah.
During the draft time, so former teammate of mine, Barry Gardner, is his agent. That's his agent, so
which
that's how I know him. So prior to the draft, Barry, you know, remember we were bringing guys on. We were bringing players on.
I remember.
Yeah, so I don't know what happened. We had other guests lined up, but
it wasn't a good day.
Yeah, it wasn't a good day to have him on. But right. And that was the first time I talked to him. I wanted to apologize to him for not having him on and everything and wishing him well. It was actually the draft week. It was a couple of days before the draft, leading up to the draft. So, yeah, and I got a chance to talk to him earlier today, just talking about everything, because he's back here in this area. Like you said, for his birthday, he came back.
Did he?
For his birthday, yeah. So, you know, and I wanted to let him know if he's ever having football camps, because he's talked about having football camps and everything he wants to do. I'm like, yeah, man, come on, man, and promote it. We'll help you promote it.
Yeah.
And get the word out there for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Great. I mean, great to talk to him. And some good insight on Sirianni. Mm-hmm. See, I think that, like, and here's what I've learned so far from people that have played for him.
Yeah.
They can't answer the question that we need answered. Because no one knows the answer to it. We don't know Danny
about
Woodhead.
About the head coach
yes.
stuff. Yeah.
Danny
yeah.
Woodhead raved about him, but couldn't answer the question of can he command the team? Can he be a head mm-hmm. coach?
But everybody likes him personally, yeah. individual coach. Again, I mean, listen, things like this, a lot of it depends. Because that's pretty much what Doug was, more of a position coach. He was an individual coach, but because he was relatable – and had the ability to be a leader, man, he could be in there as a head coach, but you had to put a good staff around him. That's why it's going to be interesting to find out the staff that they put around him.
Yeah.
Are these older guys, veteran guys?
The initial staff around Doug was very good.
Yes. And think about the initial staff around Andy, Rod Dauhauer.
Right.
Did you bring him up yesterday?
Yep.
Yes.
Because no one remembers the first right. OC. He's there for 2 years, and he's gone. We talk about every other offensive coordinator that
oh,
he
man,
had, right?
We used to call Rod – I'm crazy. Rod, Jim, and Tommy Brazier, man. They were the grumpy old men, man. All three of them.
Rod had to be in his 60s when
yes,
he was there, right?
Yes. Yes. And those were the ones that was doing all the yelling and cursing in practice.
Oh, yeah?
Those three. Andy didn't do a lot of yelling. And the other coaches were young. Well, Juan Castillo did a lot of yelling. Yeah, Juan. Yeah, he yelled all practice.
And that never
yeah,
stopped.
Yeah, ask Trey about that. Yeah, Juan didn't stop.
So he was a head coach with the Colts in the 80s.
Yeah, yep.
When 0-13 is.
Rod Dauhauer. Yes. Dauhauer, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. 215-592-9494. Marks and Reese. We'll get back into the conversation.
1 year or 2 years? How long was he with us?
He was here for 3 years.
Three years, okay.
I did not remember the third year, but I remember I thought it was two. But I initially coming in, they wanted to pair the young coach mm-hmm. that didn't have coordinating experience with a guy that had been around.
Yep.
And you would think they would do the same
thing. And they probably knew that when they hired Rod, that he wasn't going to be there long.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was kind of like a short-term thing, and then he was out. Yeah, because he's 77 years old now, Rod. So. Yeah.
And we're talking about hiring Wade Phillips.
Yeah, no, we're not talking about hiring Wade Phillips. Coming up, back into the conversation, why do you think the Eagles hired Sirianni? Puppet? Maybe fixing Carson Wentz is as simple as that, or was he just the best hire? That's coming up next. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP. Oh, yeah, Marks and Reese. Today's broadcast brought to you by Chickies and Pete's. Chickies and Pete's invite you to dine. Indoors in South Jersey, Glassboro, Bordentown, Egg Harbor, Marlton, Tropicana, Atlantic City. Plus, you can dine indoors at all of Chickies and Pete's in the Pennsylvania suburbs. Check them out. Our Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. If you're looking to get engaged, maybe you need wedding bands after popping the big question. Mark's Jewelers should be your first and last stop. Mark's Jewelers in Montgomeryville on Route 309. Online, marks-jewelers.com. Why do people think, it's the day after, now that people have calmed down, some people were hot yesterday, why do you think that ultimately the Eagles hired Sirianni as their head coach? Mm-hmm. Is it because they're strictly thinking about trying to fix Carson Wentz? Is it because they wanted to hire a puppet? Is he just the best candidate? Right now, 51% saying it's about fixing Carson Wentz. And then the Howie Lurie puppet's next at 37%.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what. Jonathan Taylor, first of all, shout out to Jonathan Taylor. Appreciate that. We're going to run the ball next year.
Finally. Yeah, I mean, people have been screaming that for, what, 3-4 years?
Is Miles Sanders ready to go?
Nope. Well, hey, Ike, listen, they better draft another running back pretty high in the draft if they want to run the ball. I don't want to hear Boston. I like Boston Scott. He can be their third running back.
Well, the funny thing with the Colts is, even with those other backs they had, they still took Taylor early.
Yep.
So that shows you that they are committed to running the ball in Indy.
And Marlon Mack's a free agent, right?
Yeah. I'm just saying they took Taylor early, though, instead of, you know, waiting to the third or fourth round.
41st overall they took him, right? So it's not like it was even the end of the second round. They took him early.
That means they were making it a priority. And they got the other running back there. 21.
Himes.
I like him.
And he's good. He's good as a receiving back out of the backfield. It makes sense, right? For all the worry that all the stuff we worry about with throwing the football.
And that's what Frank liked to do. Yeah. Frank liked to run the ball. I keep going back to that 2017 season.
They ran the ball. Right,
they ran the ball.
Hey, Doug, the further they got away from Frank Wright, the less and less they ran the ball, right?
Yes.
Marlon Mack could be interesting. He looked really
good.
I loved him before he got injured.
Yeah, I loved him before he got injured.
Interesting.
Yeah. I liked him coming out in that draft. He was part of that the running back draft. Yeah, he was part of that draft.
He was another back. Just like Eagles a late pick. He's a fourth rounder.
Yes, he was a fourth rounder. Yep.
All right, let's get back to the phones. Let's go to Ben. Ben is in Boca Raton, Florida. Ben, what's up, brother? How are you?
What's up, boys? It's been a while. How you doing?
How are you, man?
What's up, Ben? How's Uncle June?
Hi, Uncle Junior.
Yeah.
You know, gangsters don't get old. They just retire and move to Miami.
That's
right. How it goes.
Yeah,
oh, man.
How it goes. Listen, guys, I haven't called in forever, and I just waited to see how it played out. I needed to see how it ended, and I needed to see where it's going. And I love what you guys are saying. And I feel bad for the people that can't separate. Look, I love Deuce. I think we all love Deuce. And I think as an Eagles fan, what we really would love to see, right, is when Westbrook tweets out a phony list of coaches like Trotter and Ike and Seth that would come in and step in and be the next guys for the job. But this isn't fantasy football. This is not, you know, a fantasy world. This is a rebuilding, retooling. Mm-hmm. And you guys are right. We need a new voice, a fresh voice. It's not Deuce. Deuce is going to bring that old baggage with the team that we need to close the door and move on from. And I wish the fans can separate their feelings for Deuce for what the team is better, what's better for the team. And it's moving on. And Sirianni's going to give them a fresh voice. There's going to be new coaches. There's going to be new voices. And all that dysfunctional play that we saw last year, which, blame it on injuries, blame it on whatever you want, was a disaster on the field. And we have a saying at my job, it's, you don't get fired, you fire yourself, or you quit. And that was what happened with Doug.
Doug fired himself, yeah.
Doug fired himself. And he wanted to hang on to this press tail and all this nonsense. Doug, you got to go. And it's time to get the new guys in here. We can't go the first 6 weeks of the season next year where guys like Micah Kizer, Ryan Kerrigan are NFC the players of the week because they're going against our backup line with Sua Opeta. And I don't even – what was the – Jamal Brown.
Oh, God.
No, Jamal Brown, he will not be back.
Yeah, he won't be. Well, although, didn't they pick him back up?
Oh, it was practice squad, yeah. No, but then I think they – once the hotel incident happened, they –
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're right.
Would love to know what happened.
Well, it's one of two things.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, it can't be too many things out there in Appleton.
It's either he smoked a room out or,
yes,
or there was a
female. Or he brought a female in the room with him, yes. Smoked the room out, yeah.
That'd be my guesses. Dom walked by the room, and it's like Cheech and Chong.
What the hell is that? What the hell is that smell?
The fire alarm's going
off. Right, yeah. Yeah, that could have happened, knowing him. He was fixing his gloves in the middle of a play.
Absolutely.
He also got a picture with Lamar Jackson after the game, didn't he?
God, how many things did he do wrong in 1 year?
He was literally just happy to be there.
He was so happy to lose that game and get the picture. He was. The smile on his face, man, he was so happy. He better never even come close to NovaCare or Lincoln Financial Field again. He can go back for the reunion of the 2020 team, though. Wouldn't that be great if they had a 10-year
reunion? Oh, yeah, they need one. For this team, we need one.
Well, because fans didn't get a chance to boo
exactly, him. Exactly, yes. Oh, so, good point by
so
you.
So they would have
a chance to
boo him 10 years from now.
Who would get the biggest boo 10 years from now from the team?
Oh, Wentz. Off this year?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Wentz would.
Depending on what happens with Carson.
Yeah, he'll get a chance to change that. Yeah.
Jason Peters.
Ooh, Peters, yeah. But Jamon Brown, he might be the one.
That would be mine.
If people still remember Jamon Brown,
he'd be the Adam Eaton of the ring ceremony.
Yeah.
All right, back to the phones. Paul in East Greenville. Paul, go ahead. How are you?
All right, so I want you to roll with me here for a second. I know everyone thinks that Lori loves Howie Roseman. That's kind of been, like, you know, the gist of everything. But what if Lori is starting to second-guess Roseman? I don't know if they hired – who they hired to fix Wentz. This is my thought. You go back to 2016, the 49ers, who people were screaming they needed to get rid of Trent Baalke. They hired Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly comes in. They go 2-14.
Yep.
And it exposed Trent Baalke. He did nothing to better the team. He didn't do anything at all. What if this is an attempt to expose Howie Roseman, see how much he really is dedicated to helping rebuild this team, get them the pieces that they want? And if this doesn't work out, Howie Roseman has to bite the bullet. It falls on him.
Well, I mean what you're saying about Howie Roseman, just look at it. From what we know, at least what's being reported, is that he was trying to salvage Doug, and Jeff said, no, Doug's out. He liked Josh McDaniels. Jeffrey Lurie didn't hire Josh McDaniels. John Dorsey liked Nick Sirianni. He hired Nick Sirianni. It's there.
Here's where I'm at with this, Paul, with Howie. I mean, they got a coach now, but here's where I'm at with Howie. For all these stories out there that never paints Howie in a negative light. Yeah, it was Jeffrey Lurie that wanted to – no, Howie wanted to get, to keep Doug, but Jeffrey wanted to get rid of him. No, Howie, he really wanted Josh McDaniels, but Jeffrey didn't want him. Nah. It never made sense that Howie would be in favor of having a guy like Josh McDaniels in the building. For all the reasons that you were concerned about having McDaniels in the building, why the hell would Howie Roseman want him in the building?
He's getting his replacement hired, right?
Exactly, yes. Now, why would he do that? That's why they didn't get him, because they knew that was probably would be in the works.
Right.
And this is a guy that isn't going to pose a threat to Howie right now. And I got to be honest with you. Now, this is Jeffrey Lurie's team. He can do what he wants with his team. It's his team. Who's to say that Jeffrey Lurie doesn't want to change his role with having input on the team and the day-to-day operations or what have you?
Yep.
Like most people believe that he's already more involved now than he was years ago. That's 5, 6, 10 years ago, whatever. And you certainly are going to want to hire a coach that would be okay with having that type of influence. It's like the Dallas Cowboys. Like, Jerry Jones isn't hiring a coach who isn't okay with the way that setup is there.
Yep. No, I mean, I was thinking about this last night.
And again, it's Jeffrey Lurie's team. He can do what he wants to do with his team.
I was thinking about this last night. Wouldn't Jeffrey Lurie have to be blind to not realize that there's an issue with where we are right now as a team? Obviously, they failed to build a team. Mm-hmm. So he would have to be blind. I think a lot of people are looking at it kind of like, look what's going on down in Houston, where their owner, Cal McNair, literally doesn't – he's like, what's going wrong? Everything's fine. This Jack Easterby guy's fine. He should be in charge, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't see that there's a problem. He thinks everything's okay.
Right.
I don't think Jeffrey Lurie thinks everything's okay, and Howie Roseman should have the ultimate power just like he's always had.
Right. I don't either.
So when John Dorsey comes in, and now Howie's on notice, like, hey, I got an NFL GM right here. And, oh, by the way, I'm taking his input when I make decisions. Not only your input, I'm taking his input as well. I think Jeffrey Lurie realizes it would be silly for him to only rely on Howie Roseman as the person that's making decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of the feel I have right now is maybe it has shifted to where he realizes that Howie Roseman can't be the be-all, end-all.
Yeah, I think it has shifted to that. Now, listen, it's whether he wants people to perceive that he has influence or he is – meddling or whatever, you know, I'm talking about the owner. Again, I keep going back to this. It's his team, so he can do what he wants to do. I just think that that's a part of the equation now. Now, it may not be I decide who the quarterback is going to be or this and that and the other, but I do decide who the coach is going to be in the draft room. He is a part of the process. He's in the room. He's having input as to who he likes and why he likes them.
Mm-hmm.
Man, listen, when you're a billionaire, you're an owner, I don't know what other interests he has away, like whether or not he has other businesses.
He does the movie stuff or whatever.
Right. I don't even know if he does that as much.
Right.
I think football may be what occupies the majority of his time.
I would agree.
Great.
So he's involved. That means he spent more time in meetings. He spent more time gathering information, meeting with the head coach, meeting with coordinators, being in the scout meetings, things of this nature. Like having his fingerprints on the organization more. And I said this at the beginning of the show, and it's the reason why I'm not necessarily railing against it. Because when they he took back his franchise from Chip Kelly and started operating this way, it won him a Super Bowl in 2 years.
Yeah.
So if you're coming from his perspective, you can't tell him that his way hasn't worked.
No, the Super Bowl.
It validates
it.
It validates it.
Right or wrong, it does. You're right.
And so from their viewpoint, it's like,
and I was worried that's how he viewed Howie Roseman. That the Super Bowl validated. No, what are you talking about? This is the right guy. Look, we won a Super Bowl, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's
the whole this collaborative effort and not having one guy calling all the shots and this and that and the other. This is the way they view it was a success for them.
Well, I think that's a recipe for disaster for the most part. Having four or five cooks deciding what the meal is going to be. That's not good. All right, let's take one more phone call here. Let's go to Yoshi in Brewerytown. Yoshi, go ahead. What's up?
Good Lord! What's up, fellas?
What's up, Yoshi?
What's up, Yoshi?
How you doing?
Oh, my God. Hey, man, I had to pull over real quick. We could see. Just talking to Jay, he was like, Yoshi, where you been at? Yeah, I call y'all on my way home and talk to y'all from work. But my wife worked from home, so I only can listen when I get in the house because I be too loud, and I don't want to get in trouble because no matter where I could go, in the basement, I'm going to be too loud. Man, I miss y'all. Happy New Year, even though we almost in it. We're staying all the way through January.
We'll take it. Thank you.
We'll take it, Yoshi.
I want to say this real quick. Speaking to the national media, this racist stuff, what's they talking about, what's they, this team, this organization is racist and all that. Man, get over there. I love Deuce too when he ran the ball. Ain't nobody checking for Deuce. That's one thing. What's name? When Lurie took over this team, first man he hired was a black man. First franchise quarterback was a black man. He took a chance on Michael Vick, a black man. Ain't no racism going on in here. Now, we're serious. I like it. I did some research on it, man. Had Andrew Luck best completion percentage first year. Phillip Rivers had the best completion percentage last year. He had worked with the likes of Keenan Allen, made old Pascal look good, Ollie Cox. I mean, he is a dude that can help out the players. Carson, man, I'm telling you right now, everybody down on Carson this year, it's going to come a point in time when these gentlemen going to disappoint their wife and they going to want another chance. And she going to look at them and say, but you ain't get Carson one. So what's the name? Let's get up here and ride with Siri. They talking about puppeteer and all that. Hey, man, Andy Reid probably was a puppet his first year. A lot of coaches are puppet they first year. Yeah. But the thing is the boy get in here and make some noise, they going to give him a little bit more leeway. So let him ride. I can't wait to say, hey, Siri, yes, Yoshi, run the ball. Because I know Miles licking his chops right now. That boy going to establish a run. Cause the AI.
Yes.
The boy don't go buck again.
Juice.
He must have been drinking that Ike juice.
Oh, wow.
All right, Yoshi.
Hey, Yoshi, don't be a stranger, man. Please call us back, brother.
Gotta get him and Chuck from Mount Airy head-to-head against each other.
Him, Chuck, and Black Gritty, man. Holy cow.
Yoshi, excellent.
Wow.
Great job. About I don't know, 11 o'clock today, maybe 10:30.
He did make some great points about the racist stuff.
He did.
Yes.
Yeah, like.
Yes, Jeffrey Lurie's not racist.
Exactly.
No,
no. Exactly. I think that
the Eagles aren't racist.
League wide, I just think the league has a problem with hiring African American coaches.
Yep.
Period. End of story. That's the best way I can say it. Hank Aaron passed away.
Oof.
Earlier today, and it hit me. It hit me. It did. I was you know, kind of bouncing around on TV, looking at it, and it came down. Obviously, like I was born after Hank Aaron had really been like a star and played baseball. So I was the generation after Hank Aaron. But still, it was you know, growing up as a big baseball fan, he was the you know, Hammer and Hank.
Yeah,
he was the guy. So I know that you had a couple of occasions when you played down in Atlanta to meet him.
Man, so fortunate and honored and humbled, man. When I was down in Atlanta those 2 years, I really did get to meet a lot of people when I was down there in Atlanta. But Hank Aaron was a Falcons fan. He's obviously an Atlanta legend. He would come out to practice from time to time. And I remember the first time I met him, right, when he was out, that was like, was that Hank Aaron? Like, Hank Aaron's walking around here at practice, like.
It must have been surreal.
Yeah, and they were like, you know, some of the guys that are already there, been there a few years, like, yeah, Hank Aaron comes out to practice every once in a while. I'm like, y'all act like this is no big deal or something? Like, man, it's Hank Aaron, man. So I was like, man, I hope he stayed till practice was over with, and, you know, Coach Moore introduced him, and he said a few words. I was like, I gotta go up to him and say, hello. I gotta go do something. I gotta go say hello. I gotta go meet Hank Aaron. And so, after so many players had waited, you know, to just shake his hand and say something quick without making yourself look foolish, but you wanted to let him know how much you appreciated what he had done coming before us and the way what he had paved the way for us. So you got a chance to do that, and I'm like, okay, I can't be fanboy today. Right? So I can't do the whole autograph thing today.
That was the next time?
Yeah, that was the next time, man. That was the next time. So that was the next time. So the next time he was out, I was like, yeah, I'm getting me a ball, man. I'm going to get it. I got to get it signed. So
wow.
Waited till practice is over with, went and grabbed a football from the equipment guy. And he did. He signed it
for
me, man.
Wow, that's awesome.
I don't even bring that out. I don't even bring it out. It's in a case in my storage room. And
that's it?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Hank Aaron, man. Hammer and Hank, the true home run king.
When he was
true home
the
run
only
king.
Home run king, in our opinion.
Yes.
When he was coming close to breaking Babe Ruth's home run record in the South in 1973, think about that for a second.
Yep.
They actually had snipers up on the roof of Fulton County Stadium and around the area because he had so many death threats. Don't break the record.
They were saying like 3,000, hate mail a day.
It was unbelievable. Pieces
of hate mail a day.
And how he handled himself and in the professional manner and just an overall great guy. But keep this in mind.
Mm-hmm.
The Atlanta Journal back in 1973, the sports editor ordered an obituary pre-written in case he was assassinated. This is how worried they were that he was going to get killed before he could break that record.
Yeah, they worried somebody was going to do something to prevent him from breaking the record.
Listen, to be the home run king is one thing. To be the home run king in that type of atmosphere is another. So,
yeah, and for me, John, not to go too deep, but he's more than baseball. It's like Jackie Robinson.
Yeah.
It's more than the actual sport. And that's why I was in such awe when I met him, right? That's like, I know about the home run thing, but I also know about the movement, what he went through.
The stuff that matters.
Yes. Yeah. Like that's where you're like, man, I want to be able to shake the hand of that guy. Hammer and Hank Aaron, man.
He had Johnny Bench said he had four arms the size of his legs. An all-time great. Rest in peace, Hank Aaron. Coming up next, our ace handicapper Nick Kostos gives us everything for the championship game. Who he likes for the games. We'll talk about the over and unders, and we'll talk about some props as well.
Love it.
That's coming up next with Nick Kostos, and today's broadcast is brought to you by Chickies and Pete's. Chickies and Pete's is open for indoor dining at all the Jersey locations like Glassboro, Bordentown, Egg Harbor, Marlton, Tropicana, Atlantic City. Plus, you can dine indoors at all Chickies and Pete's in the Pennsylvania suburbs. Back with Nick Kostos and his locks for this weekend next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.